CII Radio, the media voice with a global footprint. Tune in now.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back to another edition of Bumper to Bumper. Yes, it is Friday night. My name is Ziad Plachis, and with me today is Brother Jamil. He is back, everybody. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Brother Jamil. How are you this evening?
Wa alaikum salam, Ziad. I'm doing well. I'm doing very well. Nice and rested. I know this is the first show for me, so I'm very excited, eh? And plus, like, you know, all the plans we have for this upcoming year, inshallah, really, it has me excited. It's going to be a good year. I can feel it.
Inshallah. Mm. Well, do you know that tonight they're busy looking for the moon for Rajab?
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that. I didn't. Okay, so, but...
So we almost around the corner from Ramadan. Remember last year I said we almost in Ramadan? We're almost there now.
No, but I actually enjoy Ramadan. It's like such a peaceful time. It's really nice. It's just that I really am not a morning person. So I'm not saying that I don't wake up. Just I don't talk much. So I don't know how Hafiz Imran does it, but I promise you, big ups to him. I want to spend one series with Hafiz Imran. Did you hear his energy?
No,
it's amazing. I promise you, it's absolutely amazing. And I'm just the exact opposite. I'm not a morning person. 10 a.m., 10 minutes past 10, I can talk to you. I can be normal. But before that, I'm just really quiet. Some call it moody. I'm just saying I'm quiet.
Okay.
Yeah. I take a little while to warm up, you know.
Okay. Mm. So lucky we have the show at night then.
Exactly. That's why it's at night.
Oh, okay. But you came back last week. You were on another expedition.
Yeah.
So tell us about, paint us a picture. Paint the listeners
a picture. So firstly, these expeditions, these adventures, it's all, I realize it's all based around hiking. So we went to Lesotho, right? For two reasons. The very nice reason was I was blessed to have for just, over a month now, a Suzuki Jimny, the 5-door, which was the perfect travel partner for Lesotho. So if you've been to Lesotho and if you've done like any of the major mountain passes, you'd know that Sani Pass is the main one, right? It's absolutely gorgeous. The time of year that we went, we were absolutely blessed because it was very lush. There was like waterfalls everywhere. So before you even get to the pass, before you even get to the border, you're on a tar road. You don't need a passport and you can drive it. There's nothing to it. And we were counting the amount of waterfalls that we're seeing. Like, I'm not talking like little springs or streams. I'm talking like a waterfall. We stopped at 33 because there's just too many. So every side that you look, there's just waterfalls. And it was like I'm saying, it was full. It was flowing. Mm-hmm. And our entire thing was we wanted to go to Lesotho to firstly put the journey through its paces, but not in, you know, in a practical world setting, not in a, you know, let's drive it and, you know, you reset the fuel thing and see how it goes. This particular vehicle, it's a 5-door, right? So we traveled 4 adult passengers with 4 people's luggage and hiking equipment to Lesotho. So it was really a thing of getting to grips with the vehicle, seeing how it feels, you know, like real world fuel consumption, where the cars, you know, like just everything about the vehicle. And
I'm raising my hand.
Sure.
How did you manage? Did you put stuff on the top, on the roof, or?
So we initially thought we'd need a roof rack, but I'm not going to lie. We all just said, look, it's 4 days or 5 days that we're going for, just pack light. And you won't believe it, with hiking and 4x4 equipment, everything fitted.
So
there was, I'd say, 2 bags on the back seat, but not that any of the passengers were uncomfortable or anything. It just worked. It really just worked.
Sure.
Yeah, and we actually like carried like compressors and like, you know, all these types of things that we didn't think would fit. You know, the only thing that we ended up leaving, and that was because the vehicle didn't have a roof rack, was a jerry can, which would have been ideal. If you have a Jimny, a roof rack, and you have a jerry can, it's like everything that you need. Because the vehicle has a very small fuel tank. If I'm not mistaken, I think it's like 45
liters.
So while it is light on fuel, you really need to maximize your distances. Or kind of like, look, we weren't so remote, right? But I'll tell you about how we got lost, okay? We weren't so remote, but it's nice to just have that security, you know, like knowing that you have enough fuel. And we spent 2 days in a place called Mwe River in KZN.
Okay.
It was actually, you know, you get these farm stays.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not what you may think, right? It's this particular place that we stayed at was on a farm,
mm-hmm.
but it's like a luxury house. So it sleeps, I think it's 8 people in 4 bedrooms. And it's really like top end. Like you can see from the appliances, it's all like, you know, like high end appliances. And it's actually on this cattle farm. So during the day, like if you like relaxing at this place, you'll actually see them like, you know, like herding the cattle, taking them up and down, letting them graze. It's like an actual like working farm. But it's really nice because the owners of the farm also noticed that we had this little Suzuki. It was raining out the entire week. So he said, hey, listen, if you want to play around, you guys have access to the entire farm. So they gave us like a remote and allowed us to go through any gate. There was one gate. So just don't pass this gate because it's like my crops on the other side. We don't want you driving through like the milling fields. But the rest of it, like, and it was amazing. It was just such an amazing time. It's a really nice place. It's called Fisherman's Cottage.
Okay.
And in Mwe River. If you're playing like a family stay, it's ideal. It's absolutely ideal. I can't remember the costings exactly, but I think it's around, call it 6,000 to 8,000 rand a night, which sounds like it's a lot, but I promise you it's not, because there's a few stays that I was looking at now, right? They actually started charging per person per night. And on average it's about 960 rand per person per night in very low-end lodges and things like that. So this is a nice one. If you're planning, call it a family trip out or whatever it is, it's really private. It's secluded. It's got its own dam. So you have, there's a massive dam in front of you. They actually leave you with, I think it's like 4 kayaks. You can go out, do whatever you want. It's really, really nice.
So there's only one house.
So there's actually two call it structures,
mm-hmm.
but like I'm saying, if you are a family and you're looking, so the one sleeps 12 people and the one sleeps 8.
So you were staying in the
8, right?
So 6,000, what you said?
So it works out to, I think it's somewhere between 6,000 and 8,000 a night.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it was really nice because like I'm saying, you have access to the dam, the entire farm. It's just so much to do, and it's self-catering, but there's a stove with like very fancy appliances. Then there's like a fire pit, a gas braai stand, a charcoal braai stand, like a braai stand inside the patio. So if it's raining, it's really nice. They have a hot tub outside. It's really worth it.
So that was your base point.
So it's not a stop along the way to Sani Pass. You do kind of go off the track, but it was just part of our plan. Like, let's go spend a little bit of time because we're going to be hiking in Lesotho. We said, let's just take it easy, you know, like a slow travel. So we got down to KZN. We did the stay there. From there, the next morning, we drove on, I'd say, one of the most prettiest mountain passes ever. It took us out into Nottingham Road. Yeah, it's actually a place, right? And
I love Nottingham.
Really? I this is like the first time I experienced it. I've passed like the signboards, but nothing else.
That's where you must go to see the snow.
Is that
yeah.
Okay? I didn't know that, but that's something that's funny that you mentioned, because it's something it's like I need to tick off my bucket list, seeing snow in South Africa.
So now there's also a place like you describing where you stayed. Not as big. There's about 6 structures. I think we spoke about it a few episodes ago, called Spring Home.
Okay.
Also with the dam in front and, you know, like a big farm type in Nottingham Road that maybe you should try and look at the next time you're going there.
Definitely. Look, these type of stays really appealed to me. That's the first time I did, I'm going to say, a farm stay. And it wasn't what I was expecting, really. I was expecting, like, you know, this, call it, farmhouse sort of vibe, and it was just very different. It was very comfortable. It was really nice. But yeah, so that was Moerova. We didn't do much there. It was more like I'm saying, like a base to kind of recharge before Sani Pass, because Lesotho we knew was going to be very condensed. It was 2 days, the first day being Sani Pass itself. There was a couple of other mountain passes that we did, some of them that we did unknowingly or unintentionally. And then we were going to do a hike. So the hike that we were planning on doing, it was called the Maliba Lodge Waterfall Hike. It's quite a popular hike in Lesotho. It's not very far in distance. But in Lesotho, don't let that fool you. Because if someone says the hike in total is 6 kilometers, meaning 3 going and 3 coming, it's actually not a good thing, because that means there's a lot of climbing in a short distance instead of, you know, like over a longer distance. But I'm gonna tell you about the hike. I'll give you all the details about it. And Sani Pass in the journey. But let's take a break now. And when we come back, we'll talk about Sani Pass.
CII Radio, the media voice with a global footprint. Tune in now.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back to Bumper to Bumper. Brother Jamil is just painting a lovely picture of the route that he took down to KZN and to Lesotho. And he's going to tell us all about the hike now.
Sorry, I'm still laughing. We're like, you know, in the end, ends, and we both look at each other like, is it me or is it you? You know, we need a behind the scenes of what actually happens.
You have to play rock, paper, scissors to decide who's gonna welcome us back.
No, but on the note of Sani Pass, so firstly, South African borders, I'm not sure what it is. I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, but so far, all the borders that I've crossed, like Botswana, Zambia, and Lesotho, like in the space of the last, what's it, 4 months? 3 months. It's always the other border that's so easy. So, for example, when we were coming through Botswana, right, we were like 50 people. It took us no more than 40 minutes. And we had a 4-hour delay on South African side. And same thing here. If you're coming through, so we came through into Clarence, right? But the South African side, literally, okay, firstly, Botswana, it's like a drive-through. Like, you know, like a KFC drive-through? Mm. You park at the window, you give them your stuff, your documents, stamp it, and you're off, you know? South Africa, you firstly need to get off your vehicle. Then you join a massive queue. Then it's a slow process. It's not like there's chairs and it's aircon. You're standing outside. You're burning. It's hot, you know. And it's just a weird thing. Like, I'm not sure why it takes so long to get in and out of South Africa. Like, it I don't know what it is. I'm being dead serious. But anyway, we passed.
Did you give them anything, like a Coke or something?
I was supposed to. Is that what speeds up your process?
Yeah, that's the trick.
Okay. So I'll remember that for future. But what we did was we started the Sani Pass, right? So the official start is at the South African border, where everything. Firstly, there's a law that says you have to have a 4x4 vehicle to do it. Mm-hmm. When you, and it's like very exciting, because, you know, it's like all this dangerous road ahead and blah blah blah. Yeah. You know, like all these,
okay.
It's signposted, like it's something, it's you have to do, it's an experience.
It's like
a no.
It's, you didn't see the signs and you just carried on.
The red flags. So so we did the Sani Pass. It's one of those drives where no matter where you look, there's just something to see. And you climb, like, I think it's like 3,200 meters above sea level. So it's high up, you know. And you get to the famous switchbacks. But even before you get to it, there's so much to see. And the craziest part is all these waterfalls, a lot of them actually cross the road.
Oh, okay.
So the nice thing is you keep your bottle with you and you can fill. It's like natural mountain spring water. It's crystal clear. There isn't like a speck of dust in it. and it's got a really nice taste.
So did you bring any back for us?
I did, but it was a week ago, so I've been replenishing.
So it's not even natural spring water anymore.
No, it's not.
It's Tshwane municipality's water.
Exactly. But it was such an experience. And the switchbacks are basically the spaghetti-like climb. And I've said, so most of the vehicles that you see are all Toyotas there, right? Like Land Cruisers and Hiluxes and stuff. The Jimny was one of the few vehicles that I've seen that literally can just manage it, like takes the switchback, like without having to U-turn, you know? So it was really such a capable vehicle. It was really nice. I mean, it does get, I won't say frustrating, but you need to like plan your passing. You need to plan it. It's happiest at about 110. And that's fine if you're doing like a long road, like a road trip, you know. There's plenty of things to see. And in a place like Lesotho, you're not going to be doing one thing. Like I can assure you, there's just so much to see. There's livestock on the roads. It's like the entire country is very, call it like popular amongst, or popular for herding and like, you know, like farming and stuff like that. Whereas it's so funny if you see the differences in farming. The moment you cross over into the Free State, it's like commercial. You'll see like tractors and like, you know, like big equipment. Mm. In Lesotho, it's not like that. Like you'll see a man literally plowing the fields. You'll see, you know, it's that sort of farming. But yeah, so we got to the top of Sani Pass at about 4. And in Lesotho, we still had a 3-hour drive to our destination, which was Maliba Lodge. And we put it into Google. We had network at the time, so we downloaded the map. And it took us to a place that was 120 Ks away from where we were supposed to be at 8 o'clock at night. So we reached our destination. And this is really the short version of what happened. But we reached our destination at 20 past 12 in the morning. Maliba Lodge. And because we had no network, I tried, I'm not even going to say who I'm with, but I'm on the worst service provider. I tried to get my roaming activated. They said, you need to give us 48 hours. I would have been back in SA by that point, right? But anyway, we get to a point and this pin on Google takes us to the wrong place. So we take a turn off onto a gravel road. We drive down like maybe a kilometer onto a gravel road. It's pitch black. It's dark. There's like a random, you know, these like buildings that has like electrical stuff in it. I don't even know what it's called. Like a power station, basically, but like a small one. It's just that. So now we're like, wait, where is this lodge? Anyway, there's nowhere else to go. That's the end of the road. So we make a U-turn. We come back to the main road, which is the A1. The A1 is like Lesotho's everything, right?
Yeah, it's like, takes you anywhere.
But also it's funny, the A1 is like their national highway. While you're driving at 120, it just becomes gravel and then back to town. It's unique, right? So we get back onto this A1 and then we drive down like maybe 800 meters and we see another right turn onto gravel. So I said, you know what? I'm sure Google got the pin a little mixed up. I'm sure it's this road. If I tell you, we drive down. So Maliba Lodge is the only 5-star eco lodge in Lesotho, right? So the whole time we're having this like little debate in the car. No, man, this can't be the road, because if it's a 5-star lodge, it didn't say anywhere on the like website or booking that a 4x4 is required to access the lodge, because this was not a gravel road. It was a proper 4x4 thing, right? Mm-hmm. We drive this entire route because in the distance we see lights. We get to this lights after, no joke, maybe half an hour of driving. And it's not half, it's like half an hour of four-wheel drive, engaged, low range, mud, we're slipping, sliding. It's that sort of road, right? We get there and it's these buildings. And we're like, what's going on here? Like, so we drive in, there's a gate. And we're like, okay, this must be the lodge. Maybe the chalets or the lodge aspect of sleeping is like somewhere in the mountain. Maybe they're having load shedding, so we can't see the lights. And this is the main thing. And as we drive in, we stop. We look around. A dog comes out, like, barking at us. And we're like, okay, this is weird to have this at, like, a lodge, you know. Next thing, a man walks out with an AK, like, a rifle. And he comes to the window, and he's not, he's like, not happy at all. He's like, what are you guys doing here? Like, he doesn't even want to hear what we're saying. So we're like, we're so sorry. We're actually here because we're looking for Maliba Lodge. And he's like, shout. He's like, there's no Maliba Lodge here. No, what are you doing here? It's like, where are we? Like, what is this? It was actually like some military base camp.
Oh, God.
So he tells us, no, the place you're looking for is actually more than 100 kilometers from here. So in my mind, I kind of had like this little chuckle because I thought that, okay, no, you got this wrong. Like, Google says it's around here. So still not listening to the man. Okay, so we had to do this whole half an hour track back on this really rugged drive. Back to the A1, turn right, we drive for a bit, we find a guy who's like directing traffic, but like, you know when like the road becomes one and there's that person standing there allowing some cars? So we ask them, okay, where's Maliba Lodge? Same thing. Points in the direction, no, you got like maybe an hour and a half's drive. We're like, okay, wait, this is starting to sound real now, you know? And the craziest part about all of this is they keep saying it's over 100 k's away. And I've got 90 on the range, right? There is not a light in sight. Forget anything. Lesotho is so crazy. If you're driving, every single pass, every single river is so well like marked. The name of the river, everything. The towns, nothing. Like, you'll drive into a town and out of a town, you won't know which town you drove through. So you literally have to use it. And what's funny is, my dad actually told me, take a map, and I'm gonna be very honest. I've never used a map in my life. I don't know how to. I don't even know if I'll be looking at it the right direction. But what we found
out.
I really need to learn how to use a map, yes. Right? But what it would have done is you'd use the rivers to kind of see where you are.
Yeah.
And get a broader picture, like a zoomed out thing. Because you know when you're using your phone, it's like zoomed in and whatever. So anyway, everyone kept on putting us into a thing. Alhamdulillah, we were driving downhill at this point. So I knew what to do. I was like feathering that accelerator, basically tapping off every time we were rolling down. I think I got the range to about 140 or 150. We got into, eventually, this is like the long story short, but we got to the filling station, which was a Puma filling station, right?
I think it's leading.
Yes, right. So we get there, and there's a big sign on the thing, halal. Let me tell you, I promise you, I wasn't even hungry, but I just went inside and bought something because I was like, listen, this has been such a long day. It's been so hectic. And we got there, we filled up everything. I think we got to the filling station. It was maybe about 40 in the range. But you start panicking, you know, it's like, I actually switched it off, you know, where you can see how many on the range, because it was like my palms were sweating. I was like, I can't do this. Like, now it's like stressful because I don't even know if we're going in the right direction. We keep asking someone, where's the filling station? And they give you like a vague answer. It's not like exactly, like if you ask two people, the one will literally say it's here and one will say it's like that side. But it was pretty crazy. But yeah, anyway, long story short, we get to Maliba Lodge in pitch darkness, woke up to something amazing. I'm going to share some images with you. I think you can put it on the CII page. Definitely worth it if someone's visiting Lesotho. Definitely check it out. If you're into hiking, there's so many trails. We just chose the one that suited us, but there's so many trails. We're actually supposed to do horse riding. And if you look at the pricing compared to South Africa, it's very, very worth it. I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was $500 a person for like half a day. The reason we didn't do it is the guide actually said it's been raining. It's quite wet. What would happen is the horses like start slipping. They won't fall down, but they like jump or leap to get to where they want to be. It's not for beginner riders. And I didn't want to fall off a mountain with a horse. So yeah, but definitely something worth checking out if you're into hiking and stuff. I need to drag you along. Eh? You need to come with one of these hikes.
Inshallah.
Stop being lazy.
But I don't mind the hiking. But now my question is, yeah. Okay, wait, after the break. Let's take a break, okay. And then I've got a question for you.
Okay, sure.
CII Radio, the media voice with a global footprint. Tune in now.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back to Bumper to Bumper. Tonight is all about Brother Jamil and his adventure in the Germany 5-door. Brother Jamil, I have a question for you.
Yeah, I've been stressing about this question because you needed to wait for the ad break.
So. Yes. So you know when they say after the ad break, we're going to come back. Remember?
The suspense.
Yeah,
right?
The suspense. So. Yes. So last year you told us we had the best of in Bumper to Bumper, best of 2023. Yes. And we had quite a big debate about what we thought was the best off-roader. I went with the 5-door Germany, and I didn't take it to Sani Pass or anywhere, and you went with the...
But what do you mean you didn't take it to anywhere? You took it to Botswana. That was a No, why are you making it like, you know, oh, you went to... Like, no, you drove it.
Okay, in. So, but now that you've been to Botswana and you've been to Lesotho in the 5-door Germany, do you still...
Okay, I know what your question is. Do you still think the Jeep Gladiator is the ultimate 4x4? And I'm going to stick with it, and I'll tell you why. The Germany is amazing. You cannot fault this car in any way. It's not pretending to be something it's not. It is what it is. It's a practical off-roader for a young family. It's affordable. It's reliable. It's everything it needs to be. However, for me, I'm a very emotional person. Okay? So when it comes to cars, I think with my heart, right?
And do you though?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Definitely.
Okay.
Why?
No. Carry on.
Let me tell you, right? The Jeep has this wild card. It's authentic. Again, it's one of those vehicles that vehicle also is not pretending to be something else. You don't log onto the Jeep site and they claiming figures of whatever fuel. It's like, listen, this is a Jeep, my friend. If you want to love the Jeep life, you're going to pay the Jeep price. And for that reason, and that reason only, I'm sticking with the Jeep Gladiator. Disconnecting sway bar, finished in car.
But you don't think it's pretentious?
It's a Jeep. People pretend to be Jeeps. Look at bike. Look at Mahindra. They're trying to be a Jeep.
Yeah.
Jeep is the OG. Let me explain to you. Right? So you can't say it's being pretentious because it is what everyone is pretending to be.
No, I mean, you driving it. Okay, you said that you had 40 kilometers range.
I would have been stuck in Lesotho, 100%. No, but also, you must remember, there's a bigger tank, so I don't know where.
Okay, you wouldn't have been 120 kilometers out because it's quite a compass and a navigation.
Exactly. But also, I would have been prepared, sort of filled at every single filling station, not because I wanted to, because I'd have to.
And you would have had, but you would have had a jerry can. You have quite a big bin.
Definitely.
Okay. Definitely. Okay, so I'll give you that.
Look, it's a nice thing. I'm not going to lie to you. It's not that the Germany lost against the Gladiator.
No.
There's no way you can compare the two.
But that's why we put both of them up.
Exactly. So it's just a thing where I feel the best off-roader, and this maybe is a slightly different segment or like a branch of that segment, is the best off-road road trip vehicle.
Which is?
I'd say the Germany.
Mm.
Because a road trip is generally like, it covers a big distance. How many kilometers do you think I did with this guy in the 31 days that I have it, or 32 days?
I would say you did it close to 2,000 kilometers.
5,000.
5,000 kilometers. And you're giving the car back. Do they know this?
They do. I did warn them. I said, listen, we're going places. But honestly, it was that easy because besides the Lesotho trip, I'd wake up one morning and say, hey, let me do a Magaliesburg. Let me do a Paris. Let me do a... So those, I can't explain to you how many places I visited in this journey. And it's simple. You jump in the car, fill it up and go. It's really for that sort of lifestyle, man.
So you see.
What?
You see. But I'm not going to say anything else. I've dropped the mic. Done now. No, but the Germany is, it's very capable. It's, like we said, the only thing missing now is a navigation. But then, you see, that's why you need a map. And I think I need to teach you how to read a map.
You need to do that because I also can't be wanting to be an explorer and not not being able to read a map.
No, but you definitely need to, because, I mean, even if you go in the fanciest of cars, and, I mean, you can go in a Land Rover and the screen switches off or something,
yeah,
and then you're stuck somewhere. So you need to, I actually have a map book of South Africa. No, seriously.
Do you know how old you sound? Do you also keep a yellow pages in case your phone's...
No, but I have a yellow, not a yellow pages, a one of those foldable maps also. Yes. To show
that
the route.
That big one that when the passenger opens it,
yes,
you block the driver's view.
Yes. But that's how I've also learned places, landmarks, and now I don't even use navigation. I hardly use it.
Right.
Because, you know, those maps were so accurate and we grew up using those maps. My map book is probably like,
listen, I can tell north, okay?
Yeah?
Like plus minus. I'm okay at that. So
No, but it really helps, seriously.
No, I'm being dead serious. Please show me how to use a map.
Yeah.
If anyone has any sort of
let's hear from the listeners. Do they use maps? Do they use navigation? Do they rely on their phone for directions? Or
so relying on your phone is cool if you're in South Africa.
Yeah.
I remember with Botswana as well. About, I don't know what was the distance, but about an hour before we reached the border, my phone just went.
Yeah, mine as well.
Okay.
So there was no reception at all.
So obviously I just wanted to like let the family know that, hey, listen, I'm crossing the border, I'm okay. And before I could get to that, it just went. So I thought maybe it'll come back just everyone was looking for me for like 3 days.
So Lesotho as well, you had no connection at all.
No connection at all. So the lodge does provide you with Wi-Fi. I think it's a 1 meg line or something, but look, I'm just joking. But it's not a fast connection. You're not going to be, you know, doing a lot. You're going to be sending a text like, I arrived.
Was there anything that now you said you did 5,000 kilometers, right? Which is quite a bit, right? It's like actually owning the car.
Mm-hmm.
Was there anything that you found that you wouldn't have found like we did on test?
Mm-hmm.
Some, you know, like tips and tricks that you can use to either save fuel or stuff that you didn't know about the car.
It's such an amazing question that you have, because the standard is you have a vehicle to test for between 7 and 10 days. That's the standard, right? Industry standard. But like you say, you really come to grips with the vehicle. So like you're saying, you know, you realize where that sweet spot is on the accelerator, where it is to like save fuel. You learn like little tricks, like, you know, pressing the OD button is going to drop a gear and get you through overtaking a truck or a tractor or whatever on a farm road. It really does do that. And I didn't see the value before this in long-term tests, but I think it really gives you an all-round feel for the vehicle. Also, like, it brings to light the cost of ownership, because saying a car does 16 liters per 100 Ks or 8 liters per 100 Ks, when you actually have the vehicle, is very different. Like when you read that, they're giving you a combined claim figure that sometimes I drive a vehicle and I'm not sure how. Like, how did you do this? Like, really, were you like coasting behind something? Like, how? And I think you really get a true understanding of the vehicle. And also you learn like certain drawbacks in the vehicle. So let me tell you, the Jimny, right? It comes with, I think it's Bridgestone Dueler tires. And it's a really good tire. It's an all-round tire. Obviously, you're going to be spending a lot of your time on roads, on tar roads, so it's more tar-biased. But it's a really good tire. I mean, up the pass itself, I think we dropped the air pressure to like 1.3 bars. But on gravel, it was like 1.5. On the road, we were driving normal pressures. But it was a good tire. Like, we didn't get a single puncture. Mm-hmm. You need to look at Sunny Pass. Like, it's rugged, you know. That would probably be the only thing I changed, because when you have a Jimny, I think you'd probably traverse very hectic places. And the only drawback was the Dueler in mud. It had no grip, because it's not an aggressive tire at all. So that was the only drawback. We did get stuck once, but it was not like stuck where, you know, you are not going to make it home or anything. The Jimny has a very, very nice traction control system. So basically what it does is there's no manual locking. There's none of that. If you're in four low, you basically just, if you are in a jam, accelerate. And it gives power to the wheels that have the most grip. And it just literally, you just feel it. It works. It's so quick. It's so instant. It's really, it's an amazing system. You can't fault it. But that's what I'm saying. There's definitely value in long-term tests. I think that's going to be my niche. I only want to do long-term. Give me a car for a month at a time.
A month.
Yeah.
Okay. So you say the Duelist comes standard on the...
Yeah, I believe it does because, I mean, it was fitted to the test unit, so I assume it does. But also, I'm going to speak to Suzuki because they have another Jimny 5-door in their range with a roof rack and all-terrain tires. I promise you that vehicle will be unstoppable. Like, I think we should maybe do another trip. I'm just itching, but I need a recovery from this one. But I was actually, like, dead serious. I'm planning maybe Mozambique because, you know, like, a lot of the roads there are... You require a 4x4 as well.
Yeah.
And I think that vehicle would do amazing, absolutely amazing. The nice thing about a Jimny is it's light. So it just gets over obstacles and through things easily.
Yeah. And it's smaller than the other off-roaders as well.
I think it's the smallest, like, call it proper 4x4 you can get, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And also price point. I mean, if you look at the price of cars, it's really not price paid. I think this one is at 460, right?
Well, it's under 500,000.
Exactly.
I mean, you're looking at... The SUVs are starting at that price or even more than that.
Mm.
Suzuki is very well priced in their whole range.
I think it's call it the all-round value for money brand.
Yeah.
If you're really looking to buy a car and say keep it for a while, you know, you probably get your money's worth out of it.
Well, the three-door Jimnys, you hardly see secondhand ones. Like, people are not willing to give them up. They don't want to sell them. So I think with the 5-door, you're going to keep it. Like, I mean, you had it for a month, right? You didn't even own it, and you did 5,000 kilometers. And it wasn't because you felt like you needed to do it. It's because you enjoyed it so much. Exactly. So imagine owning this car. And you obviously buying it because you want to do those things.
And another thing is, if you look at the places I went to, right? So I went from here to Paris. From, I'd say, just after Lens all the way to Paris, I drove only on gravel, right? Then I did Michalisburg, I did Hackport, I did Arties, I did Cullinan the one day. So all these places were, some of it, well, all besides Cullinan was gravel travel, right? And it was just so easy, and it's light on fuel, so you don't feel it burning a hole in your pocket, whereas a lot of 4x4s, you know, you have to plan your trips. It's not like, oh, we'll go to Paris today, and tomorrow we'll go to Airport, and tomorrow we'll go to Lesotho. It doesn't work like that, you know. The one thing I didn't do, which is still in, like, I can still do it, I'd like to work out the actual cost of traveling from here, four passengers, to Lesotho and back. Because when we came back, we came to Clarence. Have you been to Clarence? Such a nice little town. It's a proper, like, road trip town. You know, it's like everyone's got this. Clarence has a vibe. Firstly, all the mountains are like a different color compared to Lesotho. It's weird because it's like the mountains new. Like, you cross the border and it's like everything changes. It's more of this, like, call it like a white sand. The white stone, but it's really, really stunning. And they're quite famous for Golden Gate National Park. There's also, like, very fancy hikes there. Nice stuff. So maybe we must do a...
They had the Jimny gathering there.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. So it was funny.
So did you go to the spot where they had it?
So I didn't go to the spot, but the town is, like, so laid back there. It happened in when? September.
Yeah, it was.
There were still posters about it. Like,
there's nothing new happening there.
It was a nice breakfast stop for us, or brunch stop. And then, we tried to basically stay on the back roads as much as possible, just because it suited the vehicle. Let me put it to you that way.
And then to pay tolls.
And you got me.
But average cost of your 5,000 kilometers on fuel, what would you say it was?
I need to work that out. It's important. I'll put it in the article. But I'm not sure. But I think on average, fuel consumption for the trip was about 7.6 liters to call it 8.2 liters per 100.
Okay.
8.2 was, call it up Sunny Pass, like where we were.
But you also have a heavy foot, so
I learned how to work this one. Let me tell you, 110 on the open road, this car sips fuel, like really. And then on the 4x4 sections, you don't wanna get stuck, you don't wanna keep people up, and you don't wanna call it destroy the track. So you kind of keep your momentum and you just go for it. So that's why the fuel consumption is a little bit higher. But what I found very interesting was, up until I got to, like, I think the third switchback, I wasn't in four low, I was only in four high. And there was no issue, like nothing. It's just that the air becomes so thin that you require that extra torque. And I'm like, what's going on? I'm like, oh, wait, I looked at the dash, I'm not in four low. So the entire thing was done in four high. So that actually made me think, I wonder if the Gran Vitara would be able to do Sunny Pass, because it has the same clearance, 210 millimeters.
Yeah. Well, then you can take the Francs as well.
Is it also 210?
Yeah.
No, but the Francs are 4. No, you're going to need the 4-wheel
drive. But the 4-wheel drive is only in the top of the range. In the
that mild hybrid.
Yeah.
Or grip, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's got the same system, so you think it would do it?
Could probably.
The Germany is rugged. I love the interior. It's like so, you know, like...
I mean, we went up that mountain there at in Georgia.
Yeah. Yeah, that was also, I won't lie to you, when I saw that, I was like...
And it was quite technical.
When I saw the mountain, I was like, hey, did these guys drive this?
It was actually, I felt that was more more technical, in inverted commas, than the Botswana, some of the stuff that we did in Botswana.
I'd say some of the stuff, but as a whole, Botswana, that loose sand, you don't feel it because obviously the scar just was light.
So I mean, we did quite a lot did quite a lot of different terrains in Botswana, but I'm talking about the actual,
I guess I could agree with that.
So I think the Gran Vitara could actually do it. So maybe your next trip, you take the Gran.
So I'm actually getting one. I'm getting a Gran Vitara. It's another long term.
Okay.
So
there's your niches already started.
Alhamdulillah. So two of them, yeah. So we'll work on this. Because that's easy. You book 12 cars for the year.
Yeah, 13, but you can even ask. Overlap. You can ask them for 2-3 months. Then you only book 4 cars for the year.
No, but I also want to drive different cars.
No, but you keep that.
No,
as
but
well,
also,
and then
but
you
remember
get...
something, right? Yes. It's something that's not talked about in this industry. But what if you're stuck now for 3 months with a car that you don't like?
You mean long term?
Yeah, because now you're saying book 3 months, right? So now you've got a car that you're stuck with, literally stuck with. Imagine paying the fuel bill on a Gladiator for 3 months.
But that is what we're talking, that's why we're here, because people will buy a car, they make the decision, and they're stuck with the car for life. There's people that have regrets that why did they buy this particular car? It's not just 3 months, or you saying a month or 3 months, whatever. People buy a car and you're stuck with it. When you go to a dealership, you buy a car. You don't know how it's going to be as a non-journalist now. We're talking about you as a customer go into a dealership and you look at that car. And I heard Jamil on the radio and he loved the car because he wanted to give them publicity. But in actual fact, I'm paying like 5,000 rand on fuel every month, and every 2 weeks, I need new tires, and there's problems with the electronics and everything. So it's the same thing.
But you can give your car back, you know that, right?
In 3 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just give it back.
No, so the same with you. You have a long time, you can give it back. No, but that's why we're here, Jamil, is so that we can assist people with it. Like, you've given this experience now. So anybody that is thinking of buying in Germany because they, you know, want to experience those things, they know that, you know, Jamil said this is his experience. It's something to put towards them making that decision whether or not, because if you had a terrible experience and you told them, they might still want to get it because, you know, they really, you know, like you say, you think with your heart or your head or whatever you're thinking when you buy a car. Other people are like that as well. Mm. Especially now with so much information, we have access to so much information, is that we can make that decision. It's not like before you see an advert and it's like, wow, I really need to get this car, you know?
But also on that note, if you look at it, you get like in today's day and age, you get influencers who get paid to basically say the product is nice.
But that's with anything. It's with cars.
Yeah, but like anything. I'm saying, it's distracting for someone who's looking to buy a vehicle. And like you say, the average vehicle is not a little bit of money. I mean, we're literally talking about, call it a budget 4x4 year budget, but it's still R500,000.
Yeah.
You know, so.
But if you're looking for a decent family car, you're going to be paying 400 to 500,000. That's in South Africa. That's how much if you're buying a new car, right?
Oh, just on that note, do you know how much is fuel in Lesotho? It's like $20 a liter.
So it's cheaper.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a pity I didn't have the jerry can.
Yeah, you see. So, but they would have stopped you at the border.
No, why? It's fuel.
Because you. Anything that you're bringing over, it's you have to declare it, you have to say why you're bringing it. Even that cool drink that you want to give them, they're going to ask you, where did you get it? Are you reselling it?
So I got stopped by the cops in Lesotho.
Yeah.
I was over the speed limit. I'm not going to lie. I was guilty.
But the speed limit is 110.
No.
What?
The 80. Speed limit was 50 at this point. There's like...
They have weird speed limits, though.
Very weird. Like, it's not even like... It's not even like round numbers. You know, like you used to see like 80 and 60, not 70. Like,
and I mean, 50. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like they want to get you, like, ha, I got you. You know, like it's in that point where your dash doesn't read it. It's like 20, 40, 60. So you're like the needle must be in the middle, you know? But it was, I was doing, I think it was like 60 somewhat in a 50 zone. And, what you may not know about Lesotho police, a lot of them don't have vehicles. So they have a briefcase, it's like a metal box, and they literally hitchhike to the point where they want a speed trap. When they're done, they pack up all the equipment, put it in the box, close the box, and hitchhike back. They don't have vehicles to get them there.
Mm-hmm.
So, like...
How did you find this out?
There was no car park, so I asked the guy, like we know that they park in the bushes to hide the car, but there was no bushes. I'm like, where's your car? Like, you're just standing here. Like, you know? It's like, no, this is how we work. It's Lesotho. It's like, you know.
So that's how they caught you then, because you didn't see the car.
Exactly. I'm like, who's this guy taking a photo here? So,
you're like, yeah, he wants to take great content here. He actually hitchhiked to that point to take the content of the journey. Do you ask him for your picture?
Yeah, I got a picture of the traffic stop. But what was very remarkable was how polite the police are, how helpful they are, and just pleasant. Just like, you know, they're not, well, this group that I had, this pay, or there were actually three of them, they didn't want anything. They didn't just, listen, you're over the speed limit. I need to give you a ticket. I was like, okay, I'm really sorry about this. I just saw a board that said 10 kilometers to the border. I was just like trying to get out. So I asked him, like, how do I pay this? He says, look, you need to pay it at one of our like municipal offices that are closed today. You have 7 days. So I said, listen, I'm not going to come back in 7 days. But I also don't want to get arrested the next time I come to Lesotho because I really love your country. Like, you know. And he laughed about it. He's like, listen, just drive safe, just watch your speed. There's animals, there's people, whatever it is. And then just as I was about to leave, he asked me, what are you doing here? Are you have a business? Like, what work? Because the color of the journey that I have is a dark blue, but the entire car is brown. But I'll show you pictures. I will post it. He's like, what are you doing here? Are you like working? Are you in the mines? Like, what are you doing here? So I said, I actually came to hike. And when I tell you, this man's face lit up. So as we started talking, then he's also a hiker. He's like, listen, you need to try this trail and this trail and this trail. And he's done like the big trails. There's actually a trail that goes from Lesotho, Afriski, to Tugela Falls. So it's like I learned so much from you. And then I took his number down. He said the next time you come, like, we're gonna hike together. It's like, I mean, it's like a vibe, you know. You don't get this kind of vibe from like police.
So you squashed the ticket. Huh?
Not because of that, okay? I got away with a warning. I was like 62 in a 50 zone. I mean, I wasn't going to kill anyone.
No, so it was good that you hiked then.
Yeah, it saved me. It saved me. But yeah, well, just really nice. It's just traveling is nice, you know? And I think when people talk about traveling, we always think about like far-flung countries or like, you know, like countries that are difficult to reach. And if I tell you, it was a budget trip, really.
Did you buy anything while you were there? Like in terms of, did you have
so
to
you
use
know
their
my
currency
thing?
Or
say so use rands. Like rands is like a thing there. They do have their own currency, but I mean they accept rands everywhere. If you even if you go to a restaurant or whatever, if you have cash in rands, they take it. And well, I wasn't declined rands ever, but also I don't travel with much cash. I literally just swipe my card everywhere. There is like a surcharge, but it's worth it to not worry about cash. But if you look at, you know, I have that thing. Wherever I go, I have to
buy some souvenir.
Yeah. So you get these little straw hats.
Yes, I have like one of those. Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you've been to Lesotho. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
We actually had it in our car for a while.
Yeah.
It got faded.
And, yeah, so there's not much to call it shop, which is a good thing. It's only things to see, like absolutely amazing mountain passes, really nice, just mountains, man. You know, you don't see, like, I'm not gonna lie, Magaliesberg is beautiful. It's a nice looking mountain range. Same with Drakensberg. But if you look at Lesotho, I think the impact of it is just so much more because it's so much bigger. So we need to plan a trip, inshallah. Maybe we'll take 2 4x4s and we
You said out. We still, yeah, going to do that. You said you were going in a convoy. Did you only go with a chimney?
No, we did have a second vehicle.
Yeah.
But it was just like a backup vehicle.
Oh.
It was a Jeep.
And it made it through everything that
course.
The chimney did.
Of course.
Oh, okay. Okay, let's just end it there.
Let's just end it there. On that note, it's got to pass 8. So yeah, thank you. I feel good now. We're back into this year. And like I'm saying, we've got exciting things planned, inshallah. And yeah, from us, from bumper to bumper, to everyone else, stay safe on the roads and buckle up. Inshallah, next week, same time, same place. Assalamu alaikum.
CII Radio, the media voice with a global footprint. Tune in now.